swept the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A lot of people texted about, what's this guy's name again? Batewatt or whatever?
Bobcat Goldthwait.
What did you just call him?
Batewatt?
Batewatt?
What the hell is that?
Batewatt.
Pretty close. What?
Bobcat? How is that close to Bobcat?
Seriously.
Is that close?
His last name's Gold. Isn't his last name Goldthwait?
Goldthwait, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's close. Not his first name. Not his first name. I called him Thatewatt instead of Goldthwait. That's not too far off. Yes, that's not as bad as Brian calling his shot earlier on the Cam Robinson trade, swinging and missing with a slider 3 feet off the plate.
A little bit of
Bobcat. Go ahead.
A little bit of whataboutism, but you're correct.
Yeah, I'm trying to make you feel bad.
Or also not as bad as Drake being Mr. Worldwide yesterday.
Well played, sir. Well played. Bobcat was married to Nikki Cox, 90s hottie. I don't remember who Nikki Cox is either.
That name sounds familiar.
Oh boy.
Smoke
show back in the day.
She was on Vegas. She was on Las Vegas. She was on that show in Las Vegas.
Did you watch that show?
Las Vegas?
No one watched
that
show.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, really?
I actually liked
Wasn't
it.
Wasn't she on a comedy on Fox too?
Unhappily Ever After.
There you go.
Yeah,
man,
I do remember.
I think I should know
was.
This person. I
remember.
I can't see.
Better with faces than I am names. I'm really bad with names. Faces I remember. Names I do not. Bobcat was not in Revenge of the Nerds, but he was in Blow. Thank you. Bobcat was in Police Academy 2. Did you like Police Academy 2? I don't think I've seen any of the Police Academies.
I know I saw the original one. I think once they start getting into the sequels, yeah.
I remember liking the first one or two. Definitely the first one. I don't remember beyond that, although I do think I liked at least one of the sequels, but they all kind of run together. They're all kind of the same movie.
What are you laughing
at? Kinison's Professor from Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield was classic. I'll check that out. His best movie was the Police Academy movies. He is a C-lister. I think it's pretty clear. Another text you're saying, Branham, have you lived under a rock not knowing Sam Kinison or Bobcat Goldthwait? No, I just was born in 85. I'm not old like you. Kinison, original screamer. Ever since him, people raise their voices very loudly to be funny to rip him off. I'm not a big screaming guy. Like I don't like the screamers that do stand up.
That's Sam's whole shtick.
Like to me, if you're looking for shtick in like gimmicks, you're not very funny to me. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, everybody had their kind of comedic shtick. It's like Gallagher with smashing watermelons and fruit and all that stuff, and then all the different things in the chest for Carrot Top and. Everybody's got something. I mean, Andrew Dice Clay.
You're describing comedians that were like flash in the pans, though.
Yeah.
I think that kind of Jeremy's points.
I mean, everybody has their time, too, I think, for the most part. Longevity is the toughest thing in comedy.
I wouldn't say Seinfeld has a gimmick.
Or Norm
McDonald.
He kind of
does, but his whole.
Like Norm McDonald doesn't. Dave Chappelle doesn't.
Seinfeld's whole gimmicky thing was just like how everyday things in life he turned into being funny. I mean,
that's just being funny.
It's not like cheesy, like pulling out a rubber chicken, like Carrot Top.
Yeah,
I guess it's not
gimmicky or slapstick. He's just witty. He's just funny, smart. Larry David, I think, is the same. Larry David's not really a stand-up guy, though. I watched Andrew Schultz's stand-up on Netflix the other day. Have y'all watched that?
No,
is that the
I
guy that just
Raw
did
the night, but...
Shannon Sharp podcast?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is. He's funny. I liked him a lot. That's the first stand-up I've seen of his. I thought it was very good. Also cried a little bit at the end. Made me a little sad because I emote.
Oh, of
I emote.
You
I'm
do.
In touch with my. I'm in touch
and
with.
You
my, no, Andrew Schultz was great. But yeah, those guys don't like Andrew Schultz doesn't do any gimmicky stuff. I don't think Chappelle does anything gimmicky. I mean, I think if you have to like have gimmicks and stuff, then you're not that funny. A texter says Seinfeld thing was being not funny. As
like
I get
Frank
older,
Caliendo, I think, is extremely funny, and his thing is impressions.
Yeah, I don't think he's that funny.
Well, I've seen him. I've seen him in person multiple times. He's and obviously it gets worn out when every network is trying to get you to do their people or impersonate this person or that person. But when you see his full stand up, it's really funny.
To be fair, I haven't seen his full stand up, so I just think like, his impressions are funny. But I think if you're relying on impressions to be funny, you're not funny. But to be fair, I have not seen his stand up, so maybe I shouldn't be part of this conversation. Ken from the 713, what's the status of Jalen Petrie? Will he be ready for the regular season? I've never heard anything to the contrary. I've always assumed he'd be ready for the regular season, right?
Yeah, it was a pec, right? A torn pec.
Yeah,
that right.
Which you have to have those pec muscles to tear a pec, so I never have to worry about that. But yeah, that's right. I think he should be back. Like that's an 8-week injury.
He's ready for camp.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've never heard that like in doubt at all. In fact, now that you mention it, I think I read that he was supposed to be ready for camp whenever he had the surgery. Yeah, I haven't heard anything. Yes, we think he should be ready for camp. The texter, this segment has gone on longer than his appearance in Blow. There you go. That's our sign to move on. Let's make mock drafts great again. Today we use Mel Kiper's, the legend, Mel Kiper. Not very good anymore. Maybe it was never good, but the originator of the mock drafts. We did one yesterday, by the way, that was the biggest landslide I've ever seen. Did you see the final results on this? The options yesterday, and yesterday we used Daniel Jeremiah, who's the best mock drafter in the business. He got 94% of the vote, Kelvin Bankston. 94% of the vote.
Wow.
That's the biggest landslide we've ever seen. So today we're operating out of Mel Kiper's mock draft, Mr. Lego Hair himself. We'll get down here to 25 at some point. He has Cam Ward going number one to the Titans, which I guess that's gaining some steam. We saw the same thing with Daniel Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think of his game?
Who, Cam Ward?
Yeah.
I think he's extremely athletic, as we know. I think he's a better passer than a lot of people give him credit for. I just think that it's going to be interesting, like, what team he goes to, what weapons he has, what system are they going to run for him. I don't think you have to run a Lamar system from him. I think that he can pass right off the jump. I think he can pass better than a lot of guys coming out. I'm not sold on, like, him being, like, a franchise quarterback just yet, but I think because of this draft is light on quarterbacks too. I think he's the head and shoulders QB1. If Tennessee takes him, it doesn't really scare me. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good athlete. I think he's a better thrower of the ball than what we normally see mm-hmm. for like his level of athleticism. So, yeah, there is that. Abdul Carter, too. Shedeur Sanders goes 3 to the Giants. So, kind of similar to Daniel Jeremiah. Hunter goes number 4 to the New England Patriots. Ginty goes number 6 to the Las Vegas Raiders. Tyler Warren, so Ginty twice going number 6 to the
yep.
Raiders. I think that might be his floor. Tyler Warren goes number 7 to the Jets. How about Jackson Dart going number 9 to New Orleans?
Too high.
Jackson Dart.
Jackson
number
Dart's going to be
nine.
Available in the 20s. I think that's what then you bet if New Orleans should trade down. Then I think that's a wasted pick at number 9.
I mean, you, obviously you love the guy if you're taking him at number 9.
That's Sean Payton with Bo Nix, right? You're just in
yeah,
love with the
yeah,
guy.
Very similar.
Yeah,
very similar. And Bo Nix had a good rookie year.
He did.
Omarion Hampton goes number 12 to Dallas. That'd be interesting. Colston Loveland, the second tight end off the board, goes to Indy. These tight ends aren't getting to number 25 because I wouldn't mind tight end at 25. Tet McMillan, my guy, receiver from Arizona, he goes number 20 to Denver. Golden Tate, Houston Cougar, he goes number 22 to the Chargers. Emeka Egbuke goes number 23 to Green Bay. Did I say Golden Tate?
Yeah.
Matthew
yeah,
Golden,
Golden
my
Tate
bad.
Was a Seahawk legend. And
I mean,
Lions.
That's an easy mistake. Matthew Golden Tate. I mean, come on. Like, take it easy. Take it easy.
Just saying, you said I'm supposed to call you out on these things. Golden Tate was a receiver of the past.
Golden Tate, Matthew, it all comes together. All right, so number 25, Josh Simmons, the Ohio State offensive tackle, he goes number 25 to the Texans. So this might be a little different now because, remember, Mel Kiper did this mock draft before the trade today.
Mm-hmm.
So might not be mocking Josh Simmons to Ohio State, but that's what he does in this mock here. The next guy from Florida State, let's just call him Asa Thomas. Asa Thomas goes to the Rams at 26. Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, goes 27 to Baltimore. And then James Pierce Jr., offensive linebacker or outside linebacker, goes to Detroit from Tennessee. I'm getting way out over my skis here. So you have four guys to pick from, Blankers. Josh Simmons, Asa Thomas, Malachi Starks, James Pierce Jr. Which of the four would you pick if you're Nick Caserio?
I'm going O-line because it's of the positions of need. I'm looking at O-line and wide receiver at 25, and if they're staying at 25, no matter what they've done going into this draft, I'm going to go with offensive line, and I'm going to trust that they're going to get a guy that can help to fortify this line better than that they've already tried to do. So that's where I'll go.
See, I felt a little different because you just traded for a dude, but if that's you know, maybe you could go that McLean route, like you mentioned, the Laramie Tunsil rookie year route where you go Josh Simmons. I don't know his capability to play interior offensive line. Like, I'm not that familiar with Josh Simmons' game. But if he could play guard and then your bridge, Cam Robinson, for a year, leaves you after the season, slide Simmons back over to a left tackle after a year there, that would make some sense. I don't love the other positions. Like, I like the idea of a corner in next year's draft. I think you're a year too early before you're drafting a corner. Next year, I'm totally okay with it. Malachi Starks, like, you just brought in a safety. Like, I don't think you're – and then also, you still have Jimmy Ward around. So you're drafting a safety. He might be your fourth safety. Like, I don't love the idea of that. James Pierce, an outside linebacker. I don't love drafting linebacker in the first round. But if they don't like Christian Harris –
I was just going to say, I'd love Christian Harris to be healthy and contribute and be like playoff Christian Harris. That'd be great.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with you and beef up the offensive line. Like, to me, the other positions don't make tons of sense. I wouldn't hate a linebacker. I just think first round's too early. So give me Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State. Continue to add to that offensive line to try to boost up what was a bad unit a year ago. Brian?
Yeah, I don't see any need for safety in the first round. I don't see any need for edge rusher. They obviously have a bunch of those guys. Those guys wouldn't be starters unless, you know, several injuries happen. So it really does come down to the tackle and the corner. I'm going to go corner, though. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his first name, but I think there's a bigger
Aza.
Beat. We'll say that again.
Aza.
Okay. Nice attempt. But, yeah, I think there's a bigger need than – I get that it's not probably the biggest need on the board, certainly wide receiver and interior offensive line would be bigger, but I don't know that Ronald Darby at age, like, 32 is – the answer for the cornerback depth that we've talked about, you know, previously. So Jalen Petrie's maybe gone in a year. So I'll go ahead and take corner here.
Wow.
That is a little bit surprising, Brian.
People in the mentions on Twitter saying Simmons had a patellar injury. So there is that aspect of that, too.
Yeah, Mel Kiper mentions in his write-up that he got hurt last October, missed the rest of the season, and hasn't worked out yet. So that could be an issue.
Yeah, give me the – you're not drafting – well, I guess you are drafting, hoping to be your left guard. I'm still going to stick with the offensive lineman. Help out a bad unit. I think you're a year away from drafting a first-round corner. And ideally, I'd like it to be a second-round corner even next year. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's get to the Rodgers news. Aaron Rodgers, apparently the Vikings don't want him. The Lions with a rule proposal that – I'm curious what y'all think. I'm a fan of it. Let's discuss next, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. Locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
People are still texting us, comedians. Cam Ward, extremely athletic. He's athletic. I might have oversold the athleticism a bit. I still think he's athletic, though. Saints have only drafted one quarterback in the first round, Arch Manning. That worked out pretty good. This texture says they're waiting next year for Nussmeier. Oh, that'd be interesting. You can never have enough corners and pass rushers. Texans have like 18 pass rushers already. So I don't know if they need more pass rusher for them.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I mean, I just – that's the least of my concerns right now. Christian Harris is a concern, but the defense is really, really stocked. I mean, I just think that they have to do more offensively now.
Yeah. The Vikings apparently – well, the thing on Aaron Rodgers is that they're not ready to make any sort of decision yet. It's not so much that they're saying no to Aaron Rodgers. It depends on who you're listening to. Like Russini said, it's not that they're saying no to Rodgers. It's that they're saying they're not making a decision yet. And then you had some other NFL people that said they are saying no to Rodgers. What do you make of the whole Vikings-Rodgers thing, and where do you think Rodgers could play next year if he plays at all?
So I think that Pittsburgh and the Giants are both in the mix. I think that, you know, you're seeing some of the guys on the Steelers get a little frustrated with the fact that they're waiting. But at the same time, if you're Rodgers, I think the Steelers is a way better situation than the Giants. And the only thing better than the Steelers, if he truly wants to win, because I think the biggest thing for him is it's how you finish your career. People right now look at him and they're remembering the last couple of years and they think he's washed, he's done. If he wants to win, I think Minnesota and Pittsburgh are the two best chances to do that. I think that now that Pittsburgh has two receivers, depending how that, you know, if they do anything else with their offensive line, but I think there's a lot of talent to work with there. If you want to go back and do the whole complete full circle Brett Favre, but again, full talent on the offensive side of the ball. You reunite with Aaron Jones. You got two really quality receivers and a tight end like Hockenson. I think that those are two great situations. And if you're the Vikings, I think you should be considering him because you have too much talent and you've gone all in on free agency, spending a boatload of money that you can't put it all in the back pocket of J.J. McCarthy, not only because I think he's still kind of inexperienced and he hasn't really played in an NFL game, but also because he's coming off an injury that you need to have a backup plan that might be your starting plan that's better than J.J. McCarthy, and I think that Rodgers would be the right fit for them.
Yeah. If I'm the Vikings, I would be bringing in Rodgers. And if McCarthy's just, like, really good in the preseason, you don't have Rodgers signed for more than a year, and you move on from Rodgers. Like, don't be hesitant to move on from Rodgers early. If McCarthy comes in and he's healthy and he's playing really well and he's like, okay, let's play our dude that we drafted in the top 10, do it, and then cut Rodgers. But, like, I know that sounds ruthless, and it's, like, not how you treat a future Hall of Famer and all of that, but I'm trying to win games. And I like the idea of having a solid quarterback in place in case McCarthy's A, not ready, B, just not very good right out of the gate, and he probably shouldn't be. Like, he's never played in an NFL game. Like, expecting him to be good in his first ever NFL game or his first year of playing NFL football is unrealistic. So, yeah, if I'm the Vikings, I try to make it work with Aaron Rodgers, but I'm also not reluctant that if McCarthy's good and looks better than Rodgers, then I'm cutting Rodgers early in the year, maybe even before I play a game.
See, here's the thing. It's got to work for both sides, right? They have to be able to, like, lower their demand level. I think from the standpoint that you mentioned, the Vikings have to be clear that, hey, if McCarthy turns out to be our guy, that we're going to do what's best for us, but also try to help facilitate for you. But at the same time, tell him and be honest, that's in the cards. But if Rodgers truly wants to do that, he's got to take a lot less. I mean, he's made a boatload of money in his career. He's made probably way more in the last couple of years because he didn't hardly play. And then when he played, he didn't play great for the Jets. He played okay. That he has to come in basically saying that I'm not trying to break the bank either, because his ego has always said from a financial standpoint, he's still trying to get top dollar quarterback money. He's got to come in almost like a Darnold deal and say, I'll play for 20. I'll play for 25 for 1 year, because this is my best chance to kind of rewrite the last chapter or two of my career. Otherwise, if I come in and I'm looking for that kind of money, then kick rocks if I'm the Vikings. There's other guys that I can go consider that give me a bridge quarterback that's similar to the way you've played the last year.
Yeah, I'd bring him in. But it seems like they don't – maybe I can also understand the whole – like the personality and all of that, but still, that's why I'm signing him to a 1 year deal. And if he becomes a problem, I'm moving on. The rest of that team, I don't want to call them Super Bowl good, but I think they could be
They're
a contender
close.
In the NFC.
Yeah,
I think they could be a contender in the NFC. And if you're and look, I think McCarthy can be good there too. But why not have a quarterback in place in case he's not ready yet? That way you don't have this potential Super Bowl contender of a team that's being held back by a first-year quarterback. Yes, it's his second year, but he didn't play in any games. I would have Rodgers there. He'd be my quarterback one at the moment. If McCarthy beats him out, sorry, Rodgers, see you later. Or if you're willing to accept a backup role, which you probably wouldn't, then sayonara, so long.
And again, because of the fact that whole division is in flux, and with Detroit losing both coordinators and starting to lose some players too, it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound from those things. So I think that they, like I said, they overly invested in free agency. They already had a ton of talent on that roster. But you've already learned from the Sam Darnold experiment that, yeah, you had a guy that for most of the regular season was a guy that was better than average and did a whole lot for you. When you needed him most, he crapped the bed. And so from a rookie perspective, even if on best case scenario you get J.J. McCarthy playing like Jaden Daniels in terms of a rookie season or C.J. Stroud 2 years ago, and he could play really well, when you get into those big time moments, the big stage, those big games, I don't know that I'm going to trust that J.J. McCarthy is going to execute, especially when you have the rest of the team
ready for a Super Bowl type run. That's why I would go get someone else. And if I'm Rodgers, that would be the most ideal spot for me to have success.
Yeah. If I can push back, though, like, when is the last time we saw Rodgers in that spot? Like, it's been...
He's top 10 passing yards, top 10 touchdowns last
no,
year.
No, but no, Joel was talking about, like, in the big game, like you don't... Like, even if the rookie, like, J.J. has a great
but
year, like
Sam
a Stroud...
Brian, he's been there and done that before. He's won a Super Bowl.
I know, but
he's
it's
played
been
big in big moments, right?
2021 since he was in that moment.
The Achilles plays into that, too, as well. And the Jets were so bad that he never... You know, he was never going to sniff that with them. So, is that a knock on him or the team itself and how dysfunctional the whole thing was? But if you give him a chance and put him in a pressure situation, I'm still going to bet with his arm talent, even at his age, and his ability to read the defense and know what the right play is, I'm going to put my money on him over J.J. McCarthy in a playoff or in a pressure cooker situation in year one.
It's not an unfair opinion. I think we're holding on to what Rodgers was. Like, we haven't seen Rodgers at that level in 3-4 seasons. Like,
but to Jeremy's point, on a bad team, his stats were still good last year.
Yeah, they were okay. It was a little bit like accumulation more than it was great games. He wasn't carrying the Jets to anything. It's not like they lacked for skill players on that team, and they still didn't do anything.
But again, and I'm not sitting here trying to like be a stand for Aaron Rodgers, but in that situation, the Jets, it was so dysfunctional. He had guys that... He's a perfectionist in terms of routes and where the ball needs to go based on where the receiver's supposed to be. He was calling guys out left and right because they weren't running the right routes. They weren't where they were supposed to be. Even Garrett Wilson. So I think that from the standpoint of if you give him a situation where he has Hockenson and he's got Addison and he's got JJ and he's got all these different guys to work with, Aaron Jones, who's very familiar with, and he gets a chance to like have a full complement of talent around him, he could still make all the throws that I believe that situation for him, he could take that team to yet another level, as opposed to putting all my eggs in J.J. McCarthy's basket and saying, hey, rookie year, go prove, you know, go take us where we need to go. I think that there's a far greater chance for J.J. McCarthy to like fall short in one year.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And like I wouldn't hesitate if McCarthy's ahead of Rodgers and you feel that way, move on. Move on. Like, what do you owe it to Rodgers to keep him? Like, move on. Move on from it. Detroit passed, or they didn't pass it. They proposed a new rule for the NFL playoffs. We'll see if it gets any sort of headway at all or whatever. But instead of having the top four seeds that are the divisional champions, they're proposing that the playoffs would consist of the four divisional champions, the three wild cards, but then you seed them based on record. You get rid of the whole division championship altogether. What do you think of that?
I've always been of the opinion of, I know that everybody says the divisions matter, but I think the full performance of a year matters, right? And I think that if you have more wins than a division winner in a bad, and they're just a bad division, that you earn the right to host a playoff game. So from my standpoint, I'm all for the fact that the team with the best record hosts the every round of the playoffs. I'm totally in the fact that I would reward a team if they had more wins for a full season than a division winner, then they should host the playoff game.
Yeah, I like the proposal. I would vote, if I had a vote, I would vote yes to this proposal. I'm a fan of it. Like, the division championship is guaranteeing you a spot in the playoffs. I don't think it should guarantee you home field advantage. Was it Washington that they were 7-9 a few years ago and they were hosting a playoff game? Or
Seattle
7-8-1?
Did too. Seattle was a 7-9 playoff host. Yeah,
yeah, look, that's brutal.
And this is probably not a great rule for the Texans because they play in kind of a weaker division. But I think it's the thing that makes the most sense as far as the NFL is concerned. I think it's the fairest thing to do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that of the proposals, I think the Packers are pathetic for trying to ban the tush push. Just, you know, be obviously it's a tough play to defend, but you can't just take it away because the team does it really, really well, and you saw it twice last year with Philly. I think the other one that was proposed that I really, really like is the fact that the overtime rules for the playoffs should be the overtime rules in the NFL, and that each team gets a chance to possess the ball. And I think that's the best way to find the true winner of a game.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Who's going to lead the Astros in steals this year? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You're looking to steal some peace and comfort for the weekend? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is the place to do it. You're ready to get out of the rat race, right? You want to escape that for the weekend, the hustle and bustle of the job. You probably ran into traffic today. You want to get away from all of that, right? The stress, the anxiety, the Monday through Friday. Well, I have the best weekend idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Whether it's open green spaces, beautiful wildlife, or majestic mature trees, also some of the best fishing in Texas, if that's your thing. It's just 90 minutes from Houston as well. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. That's the one thing of getting away for the weekend. You might have to drive 5 hours to get there. You just wasted your entire weekend. 5 hours there, 5 hours back. That's 10 hours of the 48 hours you have on Saturday and Sunday. That ain't no fun. How about a 90-minute trip up to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston? It's the way to go. Hike on their 92-acre property, kayak, pickleball. How about just hanging out by the pool with a drink? That's fun, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort is always taking care of their visitors. Glamping, cabins, tree houses, just pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for just about anybody. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Go!
We love our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State. We're Texas proud and we shout it loud. Our brand of baseball is great.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who's going to lead the Astros at stolen bases? 713-780-ESPN. The HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. See who has the first pick today. Blankers has first pick. I have second pick. Brian has the third pick. Blankers, Jake Myers, or what?
No. You're not going back-to-back
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, no. I think that I'm going to go with the super quick left fielder this year. I'm going to go with Jose Altuve. I know I cringe sometimes at the way he runs the bases, but in terms of the options in this lineup, I think he'll be right up there, so I'll say Jose Altuve. Who's picked
35, yeah. I really think there's only two guys to pick from here.
Yes, unfortunately, it's the guy
That's
with
true.
The third pick.
That's true.
Yes.
My pick here. I think
it's easy.
I think you passed on the winner here.
Well, that's what you think.
Blankers.
That's fine.
I'm going to go Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, there it is.
He hit 20 stolen bases last year. Altuve hit 22. Dave Clark was on that, I forget what Przinski's podcast is called. But he said he thinks that Pena is going to steal 50 bases. Like, I think he was a bit facetious. I don't think he gets to 50.
No, that's crazy.
I don't think he gets to 50. But, yeah, I think Pena runs away with a stolen base lead this year for the Astros. I think he can flirt with 30. Now, he probably needs to get on base more.
That's the only issue.
Like, is Altuve also going to match last season's total? Like, I think he probably goes under 22 stolen bases this year. He's older a little bit. More of a grind playing left field. Does his on-base percentage take a bit of a dip? I think Altuve's numbers will be down, stolen base-wise. Yeah, I think Pena runs away with it if he stays healthy. So, Jeremy Pena for me.
Take
yeah.
the over on 22 for Altuve.
You would take the over on that?
Yeah. I would go under 22.
Yeah, maybe there's a side bet there. Yeah, you guys took the obvious top two. There's two guys I guess could maybe be in the conversation. One of them actually is Jake Myers. He had 11 steals last year, so at least he's someone in double digits. But for the hell of it, I'm going to go with someone who in 2023 had 19 steals, and cross my fingers he actually has the starting job and keeps it for a significant amount of time, unless he's terrible, and then he should be replaced by Cam Smith. But I'm going to go with Chaz McCormick.
Yeah, I thought he was the only other viable option.
If he's an everyday starter, he has a legit chance to do it. But I don't think he's going to be an everyday starter. So I'm not enthusiastic about the pick, but I got to take a chance.
Yeah, that's a tough draw right there. If you got to choose between Jake and Chaz on stolen bases, because I don't know that they're going to stay in the lineup.
Yeah, Pena's. I mean, I think Pena's job's safe. Chaz isn't. You're right.
Yep.
So we had a texter or a tweeter text in say that Pena is going to get to 42 stolen bases. That seems lofty to me. 42.
He had 20 last year?
He had 20.
They always talk about his times running down the first baseline. We know he's got the speed.
He's the fastest Astro for sure.
Yeah, he's just got to get on base enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think 20 stolen bases is going to lead it.
I do too.
I don't think he. Yeah, I don't even think he
23,
needs to.
23, Altuve.
Update. I don't even like. I mean, Altuve. You want to do a side bet on that?
No, not really.
A drink bet. You'll take the over 22. I'll take the under 22. If he finishes with 22, Brian wins.
Sure.
I appreciate the push there for me.
Put it in the rundown, Brian.
All right.
Under Altuve 22.
For a drink?
Blakers has over 20. It drinks a drink. Yeah. It's a drink bet. Because it's kind of trivial.
I still don't think we've paid off all our lunch and stuff.
Which ones are the ones in
Tiger making the cut in the Masters?
Okay.
We never paid off the last March Madness one.
Joe obviously never paid off any of his bets.
Yeah, we had a lunch bet on last year's March Madness. I still owe Joel Star Pizza, I believe it was the bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian, go look at who owes who what, and then we'll make good.
Apparently, Junior Broncos owes you a bottle.
Junior Broncos?
Wait, no. I don't know actually who had what side of this. So, apparently, it was Bregman 6-plus years, $30 million. I'm guessing Junior Broncos was the side that had the optimistic for his contract. Because I don't think you were optimistic.
Me. Yeah, I don't think it was me.
There's a Joel Jeremy lunch bet for Yordan 50 starts in the outfield. Has that been paid off?
I won that one.
I know.
Yeah, I paid that off.
You paid that off?
Oh, that was the
I bought you Panda.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And you owe me a drink, Jeremy, but that's all right.
Yeah,
well,
so I think we're
next time
most,
you get
so you owe so Brian, you owe Joel lunch.
Yes, at Star Pizza.
And then I owe you a drink?
Yes.
Okay.
And what about the Tigers making the cut?
I don't have note of that, but I'll keep looking.
It's all right. It's not that important. It's no big deal.
I remember making that bet. I'm sure it was a drink bet because it was only a. It was only because
you
days.
Know I drink. So.
Well, I mean, I can buy you other drinks. You're the one who made the bet. Like if it was
I
a problem
was
making
lunch,
that bet,
again,
why did you make
like
the
I said,
bet?
I'm going to actually give you one of the bets I won because I don't. I probably won't use the certificates I got, so I'm probably going to give it to you guys.
If you don't want to make a drink bet, why make a drink bet?
Right. That's why I don't think I did. I think I did a lunch bet.
We make a bunch of drink bets.
Okay.
We do. Like the little trivial short ones. It says right here, even at the bottom of the rundown, Joel versus Jeremy vending machine drink on Breggy contract. I don't know which side of the Breggy contract we had, though. That's the thing there. Like we've made drink bets before where they were vending machine drink bets.
Okay.
And I think, in fact, I lost that's the one I lost to Brian. Ours wasn't a vending machine drink, though.
No, that's just whoever's got the, whenever we have another tab from the station that you can
I still bought it.
Exactly.
I still bought it that day.
Yeah, Junior Broncos owes me a bottle of Gentle Ben. I forgot it. Now that I've read it, I've scrolled down here for the first time in forever. Junior Broncos and I made a bet. Junior Broncos said that Bregman would get 6-plus years and then 30-plus million a year. So, Junior Broncos, you owe me a bottle of Gentle Ben. Because you were on that side of the bet. So, Junior Broncos, whenever you want to pay up, I'm here, my man. I'm here to collect whenever you want to pay up. You owe me a bottle. You owe me a bottle. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are your car wrecks of the day? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Blankers, what you got?
First, the obvious one is the BMAC cam trade for a first-round pick early in the show that we said was going to be on there. So that has to be on there. But did you catch that in the press conference for when the Bengals re-signed Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins that Ja'Marr Chase threw some shade on the city of Cincinnati? His quote was, "The food's not the best, but we can work on that. And I like Cincinnati because it gives me the opportunity to come here and just focus. I'm not distracted out here. Not too many things to get me off pace out here."
So pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
It's like Green Bay. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong. Cincinnati's food is pretty mediocre.
Like chili on macaroni noodles?
Yeah, it's gross.
It's spaghetti.
It's spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's pretty. He's right about that. He played at LSU too, so he's like coming from the like one of the meccas of food to Cincinnati.
But you know what I'm talking about? Like guys
food.
That are signing or re-signing and trying. You know, they're going to prop up and lie about their city if they have to. And he just basically sprayed them.
Yeah, I like it. I think I like the honesty. I like it. It's kind of weird though. I would say the car wreck is Cincinnati's food.
It's fair.
Cincinnati's food is terrible. Awful. Yeah, I want to nominate Brian. Here was the audio of Brian earlier today with such conviction when he got something wrong. I can't remember what did the Vikings trade for Cam Robinson?
I think it was minimal.
It was a first-round pick.
Was it really?
Yes. It was a first-round pick.
So, like, I thought it was minimal. I was thinking, like, mid-round pick.
No,
I didn't realize it was that high.
95% sure it was a first-round pick.
And 5% wrong.
Oops. I did leave myself 5%.
No, it was a first-round pick. No, it was a first-round pick.
Yeah, I was
95% sure it was a first-round
pick. I wish I was as confident as I was in that clip in every part of my life. Jeez, that was...
You usually are pretty confident.
Am I? I don't feel like it.
I think
I was very confident in that clip.
What do you think, Blankers?
He was... normally you are pretty
am I?
Staunch
yeah, I think
you
you're
have
normally
a
pretty
okay.
Yeah.
I hope so. I aim to be that confident.
Yeah, it's not the
first
time
wrong.
Too,
even when
yeah.
I'm wrong.
I don't think conviction is your problem
all right.
at all.
All right.
You've got some conviction in you. What do you got, Brian? Sorry.
I wish I remember how it was said. I asked Joel in the break, and we neither one of us can remember it, but the myriad of ways you try to pronounce Bobcat Goldthwait was pretty fun earlier in the show. I'll nominate that for my car wreck of the day.
Yeah. It's okay. I've never heard of the guy. I haven't. Dr.
What
Dre,
did
Chili
you call
spaghetti.
Him?
Well, that's what we were trying to remember. I can't. I don't recall. I didn't have time to find the clip.
I called him Fate Watt or Fate What?
Yeah, that. Yeah, it's like Fate Cat or Fate Watt. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I did. Forgot what I was gonna say. Oh, Dre saying chili spaghetti. Does it have beans? No, I don't think it has beans.
I don't think so. No.
No, it doesn't have beans. The,
it's like chili
the
on top
chili.
Of spaghetti with shredded cheese, right?
Yeah, they have like some. I think they have some cinnamon in it, and maybe even a little bit of molasses. No, it's not good. It's not good. Wendy's chili, which their chili's kind of underrated. Like, it's not great, obviously, right? But for like a fast food chili, Wendy's chili's okay. Wendy's chili's far better than Skyline chili, and it's not even close. I think Wendy's does put beans in their chili,
that's
though.
That's off.
Wendy's or Skyline?
No, I mean what you just described of Skyline. Then I'm not. I've never tried it, and I don't think I want to.
Have you had Wendy's chili?
I'm sure I have back in the day,
chili.
But yeah, I don't know that I would. That's something I would like order at a fast food place.
Listen, Brian, all elitist when it comes to food. He goes to the vending machine twice a day.
Cut up my salad, remember?
Gets all those processed chips. No, try Wendy's chili. I think you'll be satisfied.
I don't think
not
I
for
can.
Real, it's not bad.
Or Joe George, try the year old tuna.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Chili's better than the tuna.
Which
in the,
one of you
in
guys,
the vending machine.
Yeah, I remember
in the vending machine.
Well, somebody talked him into eating it. Was it one of you two?
Oh, we had an on-air discussion about like.
There's a will the, a bit.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Food takes.
Yeah. And the lifespan of a tuna can in a vending machine.
Whose decision that was to put gold, tuna fish in the vending machine?
I know somebody wants high protein for lunch.
Yeah.
Being health conscious. I hate the idea of canned fish just in general. I like seafood.
I hate the smell of fish in the workplace. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good. I bring in some fish scaddle every now and then. Pescado. Camarone.
Yeah, then you put it in the microwave and it stinks.
That's not Mexico. I haven't done that once.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you do, because there are people around here in this office that do put fish in the microwave and it stinks.
Down the hall?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think you said if, though. I think you said you do that.
Okay.
You sounded almost as confident as I was in Kate Robinson's trade value.
Yeah, like you said, I did something that I've never done in my life.
You've heated up some things in the microwave, whether it be your combo gumbo or whatever, that still smells pretty bad.
No, I've never in my life at Gal Media have I put fish or any seafood in the microwave.
Okay, well then you've brought it in, take the lid off of it, and it doesn't. It smells very fishy in the studio.
That's not even the close to the same thing as microwaving fish.
Semantics.
It's not. You're trying to create something.
Microwaving
it's
like setting a bomb off.
You've had stinky food in here, period.
Okay, that's very different than microwaving fish. You're putting out there something that I've never done and trying to make it a factual statement. That is incorrect. I have never done that. I bring in fish. It probably doesn't smell good, but I've never, ever, ever in my life ever microwave fish at the workplace. That has never happened. You've made that up. Would you like to recant that statement?
I just want to see how long you're going to go when I already said okay.
Can you please recant the statement that I've never done that?
Jeremy's never done that. He's never microwaved fish in the
office. I appreciate you saying that. And I can tell you have tons of sincerity in your voice.
Oh, I felt it. Yeah, I felt it.
That's the same conviction you had today, Brian.
No, I had conviction. You had none of that.
I was being sarcastic.
He had more conviction than you had anti-conviction.
I had more conviction than what is given in most presidential speeches.
What are the Texans looking to do with the cap space from these restructures? They signed Cam Robinson today for 12.5. That's probably it. Oh, so I feel like regular chili would be better on spaghetti than Skylines. The sweet chili is just strange. I agree. I don't like the sweet chili. There's got to be molasses in there. Like, I really do think it's molasses because it's, like, very dark and it's a little sweet. It's not fantastic. It's not very good. I don't like it at all.
I just – I cringe at the conversation of chili here because I believe that beans and chili are good. My mom used to make it with beans, and I love it, but I know it's a hot-button topic down here.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, it's hearty. Like, I have no problem with beans and chili. Like, they're both good. Like, yes, they're tasty. I have no problem with either one of them.
Agreed.
Trying to think if there's anything I've ever eaten in Cincinnati that left an impression.
I was like, what are they known for? I mean, most
cities... Montgomery Inn. Montgomery Inn, the ribs. The ribs at Montgomery Inn. That's what they're known for.
Okay.
And their skyline, which is terrible. But their ribs at Montgomery Inn are not bad. It's not Texas, but they're not bad. All right, what's winning here? Car wreck.
I think
Brian probably owns it. Yep.
There's no doubt about it. Texter says Vikings did not trade a first for Cam Robinson. That's why Brian's the car wreck of the day, because he thought for sure that it was.
Winner, congratulations, Brian. Dinner.
Winner, chicken dinner. Just don't put it in the microwave. That does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Coming up next, Hall of Fame at 7, Comicast at 8. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody. But on the way out, I want to tell you about Onewell. I want to save you some money. If you stuck with us throughout the entire show, it's time to save a little bit of money. It's my thank you to you for staying through the entire show. If you're a homeowner, I know that homeowning is not easy. Homeowning ain't easy. One of the things, though, that you shouldn't have to stress about, overpaying on property taxes. You can fight those property taxes and save thousands of dollars every year. Onewell has a core belief that when it comes to paying property tax, you only pay what's fair. Head to Onewell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes. Their team of local experts and cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. That's right, nothing. You don't pay a dime until they save you money. Homeowning is daunting, it's expensive, but save big by using Onewell. The protest process is not fun, but Onewell takes that on for you so you don't have to do it. Onewell's easy to sign up, do it in a matter of minutes, couple of details, you're good to go. Onewell effortlessly saves people money without having to do a thing. Deadline to protest May 15th, so don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with Onewell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start that protest today at Onewell.com. That's Onewell.com.
ESPN 97.5.